The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Okay, we welcome you to another day. We have made it to Thursday. All is well. Thanks for being part of the program. It's going to be a big day and a lot of big news could be happening throughout the afternoon, and we will certainly keep you posted. But let's get to the headlines of the day. And, yeah, it happened yesterday. A&M made the decision that they are going to approve of the supposed entrance of OU and Texas in spite of their protestations of last week. A&M on board and the SEC presidents on the verge of voting. And we'll certainly follow that story throughout the afternoon. Meanwhile, Steve Spurrier weighs in, as only Steve Spurrier can. He said they can't win the Big 12 anyway. Okay, Steve. Coach, they weren't even competitive, is what you meant to say, but we get the intent. Remember what Nick Saban said about Bryce Young, $1 million? Well, some people shot that one down. Now sources are indicating that he's already signed more than $800,000 in NIL bills. It's worth reminding people he has yet to start a single game at Alabama. From Tokyo, Sonny Lee has done it. The all-around, that's one of the most coveted awards in the folklore of Olympic gold. And she is a signee at Auburn. And I am quitting my job so I can represent her in NIL money. Couple of other big ones going on. And it has been a very successful run for a number of athletes from various schools, as you can see there. So here we are on, this is Thursday. And we're going to be watching very closely the SEC president's vote. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, it is expected that OU and Texas are going to put it to its regents and trustees about whether to join the SEC. We'll talk all about it this afternoon. We appreciate you being a part of our little old show here. Ralph Russo had a big story yesterday, an interview with the commissioner of the Big 12, where he made some comments about ESPN's alleged involvement. We'll get to the bottom of that. Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill Clark, he's the head coach of UAB. He's had a lot of bad things happen, but at least nobody told him he's in the SEC. John Talty covers the SEC about as well as anyone, and Gene Sapokoff. We don't know what Gene covers, but we'll talk to him anyway. We actually do know what he covers. He covers the state of South Carolina. And we are also going to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and look forward to talking to all of you. We've had some difficulties with our equipment this week. This is a test, okay? Yes. So come along with us as we try these situations out again live here and in living HD. William is first up from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, William.
Hey, Paul. Two quick things. I'll try to be brief because I know you got so many callers.
That's okay.
But I had a quick comment. I'm having Paul Feinbaum withdrawal, and you have – I missed you for 2 weeks, then I went on a foreign trip, so I have not heard you in 3 weeks, and – you have explained it before, but why are you off the air for 2 weeks in July?
Okay.
On TV. I know you're on radio.
Yeah.
But why
are you off the air? I will be more than happy to explain. This is something that began many, many years ago. The SEC and the SEC Network is a partnership, as you know. So I'll save you the bylaws and the governance. So every year, the network gives back gives a day to every member institution in the SECs for them to program the SEC network. So that begins usually in early July, normally around the time of the 4th of July. So every school from Alabama on to Vanderbilt has its own day where they put whatever they want on there. And that's why we go off television for those 14 days. And then normally we come back for the SEC Media Days.
Okay. right. Okay. Well, that you had explained it before, but it just really frustrates me because I look forward. This is something I look forward to every day. But
well,
anyway,
yeah, listen, I understand, and I will tell you the most bizarre story of the. They call it the SEC takeover. So 4 years ago, and Ross Bjork and I were reminiscing about that the other day. It was on July 20th. We were in the middle of the Auburn takeover. We had been up here that day doing our radio show. I got home, and the second I got home, I got a text from my boss saying, you need to get right back to the studio. So as I got back here, we had discovered that Hugh Freeze had been fired at Ole Miss. So we had to interrupt. I'll never forget. I said, we apologize for interrupting the Auburn takeover. They were showing a basketball game or something.
Yeah, they show all these old basketball games and softball games and stuff. And I mean, that's fine, but I tune in to listen to you. I don't tune in to listen to replays of Auburn versus Ole Miss last year's softball.
Next year, we'll just do it. We'll do our own YouTube channel during those 2 weeks.
Right, so, there you go.
So nobody.
Okay. One other quick question. This name, likeness, and image bothers me more than anything. I've called you on it before, but tell me, it was my understanding that this was not supposed to be used as a recruiting tool. Am I correct in that?
You are correct.
Okay. Well, I just looking at this.
Excuse me. Let me correct my grammar there. You were correct.
Okay. Right. Good. Good English. But Nick Saban is bragging. I saw the other day about Bryce Young's big NIL contract. Now you tell me that that does not influence recruiting.
Of course it does. And yeah, I mean, you know, say whatever you want about Nick Saban, but he knew exactly what he was doing. And
sure.
You know, he got up there and clearly was using that as a recruiting tool. And what was so interesting is that the next day, Nick Saban didn't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, sure. But he's gotten his message out.
There was nothing more to say.
A bidding war. How is it going to not become a bidding war? That's my question.
It is going to. Everything about college athletics now is geared toward recruiting and making money. Hey, thank you so much. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Uncle Paul.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Mitch, I'm doing great. Thank you.
First off, I want to do something you probably would never think a Clemson fan or ACC fan would do. I want to defend Commissioner Greg Sankey. I think that was whatever innuendo that the commissioner OSB was trying to make about Greg Sankey and the football playoff thing. I think that was so off color and so out of place. I think if there ever was a czar of football, it should be Greg Sankey. So as a outlying fan, I took offense to that commissioner leading in that direction. Now, go ahead.
No, I'm just nodding my head.
Oh, now, one thing that's good about this, well, Texas and Oklahoma, there's one thing bad about it. The bad thing is I know I'm never going to get to meet you now. There's 16 teams in the SEC. So I might as well throw that dream away. The good thing is maybe you could stop saying Clemson is the most entitled fandom, because it sounds like Texas is.
Well, first of all, Mitch, I have given you my word. We will meet. So we are now that things are well. Every time I'm about to say things have gone back to normal, I look around and they're not as normal as they were the day before. But we are going to figure that one out. You have my word on that, and thanks so much for the call. We're up against a break. We need to talk to Ralph Russo in a couple of minutes, get the latest on the Bowlesby versus the world comments, and we are coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
As we were heading out of here last night, we were telling you about the story involving Commissioner Bob Boulsby and his beef with ESPN, sending the network a cease and desist letter. He also gave an interview to our next guest, Ralph Russo, who is the college football chief at the Associated Press. And Ralph, thank you very much. Good afternoon. Normally a quiet time in college football people's lives, but it has not been lately. How are you?
I'm okay. No, I mean, we've gone from NCAA, Supreme Court, NIL, CFP, now to conference realignment because, sure, why not? We'll throw that bomb in there, too.
Well, Ralph, we didn't, we were not able to really fully explain last night what this is all about. Before we even get to, it's not before we get to your interview, but before we get too deep into the interview, can you explain to the audience what exactly is going on here between the Big 12 commissioner and everyone else, especially ESPN?
Yeah, I think his ire was turned yesterday towards ESPN, though I think there's plenty of ill will at this point towards Texas and Oklahoma. But what happened yesterday is a cease and desist order was sent. A letter was sent from the Big 12 to ESPN. Just to note on that, Pete Thamel from Yahoo was the first to have that. But yes, Bob Boulsby, I was the first to get him on the phone in a series of interviews he did with other media. The letter basically tells ESPN to get out of our business. It accuses ESPN of sort of working with other conferences and sort of incentivizing them to go after the other eight Big 12 schools that quote unquote remain other than Texas and Oklahoma, because A, it would be good business for ESPN to have the Big 12 dissolve. It would be helpful for Oklahoma and Texas to be able to leave the Big 12 earlier without any buyouts and join the SEC, which is a process that will probably take another step or could very well take another step today. Bob Boulsby used terms like tortious interference, like basically ESPN is meddling in our business and we want it to stop. And it makes it even more interesting because ESPN owns some of the rights to the Big 12 conference. They are a partner, but they are not particularly, happy partners these days.
And Ralph, you know all these players, and usually, not always, but usually this is a collegial group. In your history of covering college athletics, for a Power Five commissioner to make these type of allegations, and of course ESPN has said they have no merit, but on the extraordinary meter, how high did this go yesterday?
It was pretty, I wouldn't say shocking. It was a little surprising. But let's put it this way. It surprised me a little bit because Bob Boulsby is a very accessible person among commissioners and high-ranking officials in college sports. He is a person who returns phone calls. He is a person who will say things on the record if he has something to say, where others might be a little more guarded. He has never been that way. He operates in a way where if he's got something to say, he's willing to put his name on it. And I've always, you know, people like who do what I do always respect him for that. But nonetheless, when he called yesterday, after I reached out to him, it really almost sort of caught me off guard. He hasn't been publicly speaking about this for about a week. And all of a sudden he starts sort of unloading some things to me. And I'm like, is this on the record? I gotta get a pen. So it took me off guard as far as that's concerned, but not with who Bob is. In the grand scheme of things, so it is in line with who Bob is. If he's got something on his mind, he will unload. In the grand scheme of things, you talk about like sort of historically, it does sort of remind me of, you know, when the Big East was getting sort of torn apart. Not the latest time, but back when Miami left, Mike Trangisi was pretty salty about like his relationship with John Swofford of the ACC was never the same. And then later on, there was, you know, again, sort of fingers pointing with the next round of realignment when the Big East sort of fell apart. There were fingers being pointed at ESPN, but never so officially. And that's the thing here. This was a sort of an official statement of, hey, ESPN is entangled in our business and is actively trying to hurt us for their gain and the gain of their other partners.
Ralph, I don't mean to be dismissive of what Bowlesby said, because I feel the same way about him. I've always liked him because he is a straight shooter, and he will come on. Some guys never come on. But there seems like there's a lot more to this than just him threatening a lawsuit that would take eons to settle or go to court, which brings me to the question that most people are asking. What is his end game here?
Well, I mean, I do think we're in a little – well, first of all, I do think that there is a direct message being sent, really, to stop meddling. I mean, the Big 12 still has interest in being together, right? I mean, I think there is still a motivation to save the Big 12 here for the eight, even if Texas and Oklahoma leave, for the eight to then find a way to rebuild, right? So there is the immediate end game. There's also – sort of a larger leverage play here too. I mean, among taking aim at ESPN, which was sort of the main target there, there was also, you know, mention to in interviews with me and even within the letter of like how Texas and Oklahoma have been planning this for months, that they have been in meetings with the Big 12 discussing strategy for what the Big 12 future will look like, proprietary information, while also double dealing and planning their exit. I mean, he called it, you know, deceptive. So I think there's part of that where, and he also said he suspected ESPN may have been involved in that. So there's also sort of a leverage play here where, hey, even though this marriage is ending, there, you know, you're going to owe us a fair amount here in Texas and Oklahoma. That's either going to play out in court or with lawyers involved. We're not just letting you walk out of here free. And so we're going to try to, A, save the conference, and, B, make sure that we get every penny out of you for leaving us behind, because that's what it says so in the contract. So we're going to hold you to everything there. So, again, I think that there's a leverage play here for the Big 12 while also sort of pushing back ESPN a little bit and sort of figuring like they have more cards to play, right? ESPN tinkered around. It was involved in this. Texas and Oklahoma were deceptive and acting behind our back. And if we can hold that against you and prove it all, that gives us more leverage when this divorce happens.
Ralph, even if those meetings that Texas and Oklahoma were having with the Big 12 were broadcast live on the Longhorn Network, what difference would it have made? I mean, where is this league going that the SEC or anyone else would really care about?
No, and that's, I mean, so you bring up a greater point there. Like, ultimately, it is about survival, but what does that survival mean, right? Ultimately, the Big 12 is going to lose a ton of its value. It's going to lose its flagship schools, whether that's in 1 year or 4 years, we don't know. What does the future hold for the Big 12? Well, I guess it's almost better to say, like, what does the future hold for college football and college sports, right? I mean, I think we're moving away from Power 5 being a thing, and maybe it's really, in essence, just Power 2, or maybe it's Power 1 and 1A with the SEC on top and the Big 10 after that, and then the ACC and the Pac-12 trying to figure out what exactly they're doing. What kind of domino effects come out of this? I think as of right now, we are hearing a lot of from people in the industry, well, we don't have to rush in to make a move, sort of a conservative approach. Let's see how things play out. But I think when you throw a grenade into the room, as the SEC has done, you don't always get rational actions from the people around you. So I do wonder, like, I'm not going to sit here and predict that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But all the interesting kind of weird scenarios that you can come up with, I think a fair amount of them have to be, like, considered seriously, just because this is such a disruptive moment and you never know how other people are going to react to that type of disruption.
Ralph, I know there's a big difference between reporting on a story, which you did yesterday, and speculating and opining. But I am curious, though, what you think, because you are plugged in. You know so many people. You hear a lot. So we're now 8 days into this story. We know, but with today and tomorrow, this is going to be made official. Exactly when, we don't know. But what's the next best move that you feel comfortable or confident of with college football? Because everyone may say we're going to take our time, but you know that's not exactly the way the sport works.
Right, and that's exactly kind of what I was alluding to, is this idea of you just wonder with all these, especially with some new players in the mix, a new commissioner at the ACC who is already kind of, you know, motivated to do something to open its television contract. You have a new player in the Pac-12 and a new commissioner there who seems like a person who might want to make a splash. The Big Ten, quite frankly, seems like it's somewhat settled in, but I do wonder if people within that conference, you know, might be, again, a little more motivated to do something big. I think, I'll take a conservative approach. I think the conservative approach here, the most logical next step is the Big 12 stays together, the eight stay together, because they don't find homes in other Power 5 conferences, reconstitutes by trying to pick teams out of the AAC, pick teams maybe out of the Mountain West, maybe a Boise State, goes back to 10, maybe 12, and just then we see what that looks like. They try, you know, they rake in some money over the next couple of years that's already obligated to them through certain contracts. But again, then we're looking at what happens, you know, it's no longer a Power 5. If you want to look at bigger moves, I would put this out in front of you. SEC identified Oklahoma and Texas as, or maybe Texas and Oklahoma, you know, the SEC will tell you, we didn't identify anybody, they came to us. Texas and Oklahoma were free agents. They tried to explore their free agency and now have ended up in the SEC. So what other big brand in college sports and college football is a free agent next? Well, in the Pac-12, their TV deal is up in 2024. And USC has had some issues lately, but they're still a big deal. So, again, if we want to start dreaming scenarios here, why wouldn't somebody look towards USC as what just happened with Texas and Oklahoma, see a free agent and think maybe we can act on that?
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you so very much for the conversation. We really appreciated it.
Thank you, Paul.
Great stuff from Ralph Russo. And as we were ending that conversation, ESPN has released even more information involving where they're going, their response to Bowlesby. We'll have that for you when we come back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Talking to Ralph Russo about his interview with Bob Boulsby. So as that interview was ending, we have been given a copy of a letter that has just been sent from Burt Magnus of ESPN, who runs the content and acquisition side, to Bob Boulsby, the commissioner of the Big Ten. I'll just go ahead and read it to you. It's pretty quick. Dear Bob, this response to your letter dated July 28th, 2021. The accusations you have made are entirely without merit. Apart from a single vague allegation that ESPN has been actively engaged in discussions with at least one other unnamed conference, which ESPN disputes, your letter consists entirely of unsubstantiated speculation and legal conclusions. To be clear, ESPN has engaged in no wrongful conduct, and thus there is nothing to cease and desist. We trust this will put the matter to rest. ESPN reserves all rights and remedies in connection with this matter. Sincerely, Burt Magnus. So will that put all of this to rest?
No.
Let's bring in Bill Bender joining us from the Sporting News. Bill, I'll pose that first question to you. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on the program. You heard me read the letter from ESPN back to the Big 12 commissioner. So I'm assuming this case is over, right? Nothing more said?
Hey, I work for Sporting News, Paul. I'm going to defer to my company and go from there. You guys have fun with that.
So from the peanut gallery, which you obviously have a good seat in, Bill, what do you make out of this last 24 hours, out of which is just a small part of the last 8 days?
It's been wild. I mean, to see the SEC add Oklahoma and Texas, you get two of the big brands. You put that on the patch, and with all this talk about super conferences and those kind of things, the thing I keep telling people is when you bring in Oklahoma and Texas, and if you were forming a 16-team super league in college football, regardless of school, the SEC right now has eight of the biggest brands, and that's going to be tough for everybody else to compete with.
So, Bill, let's lean on your understanding and knowledge of the sport and the people that run it. Let's assume everything goes according to plan today and tomorrow for the SEC and OU and Texas. What are the other moves out there for the other conferences? Who's going to move first, and what is it going to look like once this all starts to digest?
Well, I mean, then you got to take what Jay Billis said the other day. I mean, would the SEC go for more and explore the ACC? If you're going to go get Oklahoma and Texas, what's stopping you from looking at Clemson, Florida State, and Miami and going to 20 and creating a ridiculous conference there? What does the Big Ten do in response? Obviously, I was at Media Days last week, and this story overhung over everything. So does the Big Ten go local, or do they try to go coast to coast and make a big conference that way? The days of super conferences seem like they're upon us now, and this is the move that kickstarted all of it.
Okay, well, Bill, that's great, but let's start with the Big Ten. What are their moves? I mean, what can they possibly do that will matter?
I mean, what matters is Notre Dame, and Notre Dame seems to be locked into the ACC. That's the other big prize. So all of the Big Ten options, in my opinion, are not that great. I mean, yeah, they could shop local and grab Kansas and Iowa State. Does that excite you? Probably not.
No.
You could go with the Pac-12 and pull in all these AAU schools. And, you know, you look at that, it's five schools that have been in the top 25 in wins and losses since the college football playoff era: Utah, Washington, Oregon, Stanford, USC. That's still not close to what the SEC is creating with Oklahoma and Texas.
So Bill, yeah, I mean, we can put this in the Mixmaster all you want, but somebody's got to have to make a move here. If you see, I mean, let's just leave the SEC at 16. I know what people are saying, but those who understand how the sausage is made also understand how difficult these things are to process. So if the SEC stays right now at this number, if you had to predict, who's the next conference to make a move and who is it?
I think ACC, maybe they press to get Notre Dame in there full time, offer them the football that comes with it. You get Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, Florida State, and then maybe you entertain West Virginia this time to get to 16. It forms some natural rivalries there.
Okay, Bill, stop right there. Notre Dame, we know what Notre Dame has said, but we also know if Notre Dame goes anywhere, it will be the ACC. That's contractually part of the conversation. So let's say that even happens, even though very few people think it will. Can you give me a reason other than geography why the ACC, which turned its nose at West Virginia 10 years ago, would now be interested in them today, considering the snootiness of the ACC? I mean, I don't know. I don't mean to answer my own question, but the idea that the Wake Forest and Duke and Chapel Hill and UVA sit at the same table with Morgantown, West Virginia? Are you kidding me?
Hey, that's on the border of Ohio. I don't treat people from West Virginia that way. I understand what you're saying, though. I think they do offer a little bit from the football and the basketball side. They have a really good basketball program with Bob Huggins. And you establish an East Coast with West Virginia. I guess, Paul, the point is, what the ACC and the Big Ten have to watch is, are you adding for the sake of adding? Ask any Big Ten fan about Maryland and Rutgers. From a financial standpoint, people say it made sense. From a competitive standpoint, you can't tell me that adding those two schools made sense from a football standpoint. They win less than 35% of their games.
So if that's the ACC's best move, and I think you're right, it is, whether we like it or not, then let me switch over to your neighbor, Kevin Warren. He is almost a year away from his worst day on the job in August when he shuts everything down. What are his options? You mentioned Kansas or Kansas State. I mean, I know you were being serious, but I don't know anyone that would take that seriously.
No, and that's what makes it hard, is they're stuck in a box here. It's either stay put and stay at 14 and have a conference right now where the only program capable of winning the national championship is Ohio State, until Penn State, Michigan, and Nebraska get their act together. And you and I have talked enough about those three schools. I don't want to do that right now. It might be the Pac-12 play. Try to go coast to coast. Be the only college football conference that has a team in every time zone. Create an NFL light of sorts that matches what they have in the South, and then we're left with the AFC and the NFC of college football. And that's kind of what it would look like.
And you know what? As crazy as that sounds, Bill, that's the most reasonable explanation I think anybody could give on where we are going next. At some point, and I know we're a month away from the season, we will start looking toward the field, but there's too much going on right now. Bill, thanks for dropping by. We will talk to you very, very soon.
And no problem, Paul. Thanks for having me, as always.
Great to have you. Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Again, I'm not blaming the messenger. There aren't many good explanations. This move by the SEC or by OU in Texas, however it came about, is really leaving the rest of the map with their tongues out and their jaws dropping. We are taking a break. Back with much more as we continue.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and a busy afternoon continues. Let's check in with Christopher, who is in Alabama. Hello, Christopher. Actually, no, Christopher. Christopher Robin. Let's check out Matthew in Missouri. Hello, Matthew. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. I can't believe I'm talking to you. I just found your show, and I'm listening, and I'm loving it.
Thank you.
I'm a fourth-generation Missouri graduate, and I'm also a pastor, so it's almost like the day we got to go in the SEC was comparable to salvation. We had found the light, we found Jesus, and we were delivered from the dark side of Texas. So it's true. I did have a question. Oh, and real quick, Paul, the way I knew I was in the SEC is I was listening to radio one time, And I was like, wait a minute, the only sports scores I care about are SEC sports scores. So I didn't care about the others. But I had a question. I've heard a lot of talk of Kansas to the Big Ten. You were all were talking about Iowa State to the Big Ten. Can you give me any value Kansas has? And you can't say they're basketball because they're under serious NCAA. I just don't see it. And thank
you. Matthew, and by the way, Matthew, I know I'm probably the 1,000,000th person to tell you that Matthew is really an excellent name for a pastor.
Yeah.
Coming from somebody, coming from the Apostle Paul here. Matthew, first of all, I think people need to understand when you talk about conference expansion, basketball is a very small part of this. I can think of maybe only three or four schools in the country where basketball would even be an issue, and you know, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas, if its program had not been soiled and just scandalous like it is right now. So, but you know, the football is the big enchilada, and I am not certain that Kansas still has a football program. So, you know, with all the controversy over the end of Les Miles' run there and the firing of the athletic director, you know, that is just not a very attractive school at the moment. And, you know, Kansas State has a, you know, very good reputation in football, but ultimately when you add a school to your conference, it's usually for a specific reason, and it's television households. And I know with streaming and, you know, the conventional television is a little bit different than it used to be, but you really don't add much if you get both of them. One of them, maybe, not both of them. So, but I don't think either one of them add anything to the Big Ten.
My thinking is there's just no – when you look at the Big 12, other than the only reason you want a Texas school is it's in Texas, the only reason I can think – we don't know what's going on with the Big Ten, ACC, the little Pac-12 out there. But the only thing I can be thinking is this is going to be eating, and it's going to be size really does matter. And the only way I can see is maybe, but I'll tell you, as a Missouri fan and a graduate, it's even more one. I don't even know how did we ever get in the SEC. Anyway, thanks for the vine, and please reassure me that you just don't think Kansas will get in a real conference. Maybe, you know, I'm dreaming of a day maybe they'll be in the Mountain West. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Matthew. Great to have you talking to us. Joe is next up in Houston. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great.
Good. Listen, I've been listening. I don't listen 24/7, but I listen to several of your programs, and I haven't heard anybody mention the fact that Texas is the most liberal school in the South, and Texas A&M is the most conservative school in the nation. And in Kansas, it may be about football. In Oklahoma, it may be about football. In Alabama, it may be about football. But in Texas, it's about more than football. And a lot of you people that haven't grown up in Texas don't know what I'm talking about. I've tried to explain before. But the thing is, in Texas, when they had the marriage amendment, there are 254 counties in the state of Texas. One county voted against the marriage amendment defining marriage as one man and one woman. And that county was Travis County, Austin, Texas, the University of Texas. And, you know, it's about more than football. It's about a philosophy of life, and it always has been. And that's why people talk about the arrogance of Texas and Austin. And that's why people see it, and people see it from in all different places. They see it in Colorado, they see it in Nebraska, they see it in the Panhandle, they see it down South Texas, they see it all over.
So, I haven't spent a lot of time in Austin, but I do know what you're talking about. So, you're saying you think they're too liberal for the SEC.
Well, I think that's why A&M was a good fit for the SEC.
Right.
My son-in-law has been talking about the SEC for a long time. and he very much emphasizes this this attitude that's in the SEC, and Texas is completely out of line with the SEC.
Joe, thank you. We're up against a break. We'll continue with much more.